From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. The United Nations calls for global ban on wildlife markets. Korea prioritizes Indonesia under special strategic partnership. Now the news in detail. The United Nations calls for a global ban on wildlife markets. This is important to be implemented to prevent the emergence of a pandemic in the future. Acting Executive Secretary of the United Nations Convention for Biological Diversity, Elizabeth Maruma Mrema, said countries must prevent future pandemics by banning wet markets that sell wild and dead wild animals for human consumption. Mrema, when interviewed by The Guardian, recently said it would be good to ban the live animal market as did China and several countries, but banning the wild animal market can also open up the possibility of illegal wildlife trade. Some species are on the verge of extinction due to this practice. Mrema believes that there really needs to be an alternative solution to overcome this situation. South Korean Ambassador to Indonesia Kim Chang-byum emphasized that the special strategic partnership was the reason behind his country prioritizing Indonesia to receive humanitarian aid and medical equipment to contain the coronavirus disease COVID-19 outbreak. The two nations enjoy close and unique relations, specifically a special strategic partnership. Indonesia is the only country among the 10 ASEAN member states to have established relations with South Korea, Kim stated during a video conference that covered Korea's mechanism in dealing with the COVID-19 crisis in Jakarta recently. The special strategic partnership mirrors the sound relations between both nations. Hence, South Korea has placed Indonesia on the list of priority countries to share its experiences and knowledge gained in dealing with the virus. South Korea plans to provide disinfectant sprays, protective gears, polymerase chain reaction test kits to Indonesia. Germany has compiled a list of actions, including the obligation to wear masks in public, barring public meetings, and tracking the chain of infection after quarantine of the region ended on April 19. As reported by Reuters, the proposal, which is contained in the draft action plan that is compiled by Ministry of Home Affairs documents and seen by Reuters recently, stated that such measures must be able to maintain the number of infected people. Even when social activities gradually allowed to be implemented, Therefore, there must be a mechanism to track the contact history of people who are positive for COVID-19 within 24 hours after diagnosis. If that can be done, schools will be reopened and strict border controls will be relaxed. Russia will participate in the OPEC Plus meeting, which will focus on the possibility to reduce oil production for stabilizing the market, a spokesperson for the Russian Energy Ministry told Sputnik on Tuesday. In early March, the OPEC Plus member states discussions on the matter failed as the participants did not reach a consensus either on Russia's proposal to simply extend the OPEC Plus deal to make a more balanced decision later, nor on the idea of Saudi Arabia to deepen production cuts by 1.5 million barrels per day. As a result, restrictions on crude production have been lifted since April 1. Together with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, it led to a significant drop in crude prices over the past several weeks. Last week, Russian President Vladimir Putin expressed the belief that Saudi Arabia's withdrawal from the OPEC Plus deal, as well as subsequent oil production increase and declaration of readiness to provide discounts, were a reason behind the global oil prices' dramatic decline. The leader added that oil production could be reduced by about 10 million barrels per day, but this may be achieved through joint efforts only. The South Korean government might resort to introducing additional means for ensuring the observance of mandatory self-isolation by citizens if violations persist, including electric wristbands with GPS tracking functions, Yoon Tae-ho, a senior health ministry official, said on Tuesday. Yoon said at a press briefing and cited wristbands as a potential option, as quoted by Yonhap, if the self-isolation rules are not kept, this would put the government in a position to consider various measures to prevent such a move. There is a government-run mobile app in South Korea to control people during mandatory self-isolation, but many people sidestep the control by turning off their GPS function or simply leaving their device at home. According to the report, the option of tracking wristbands was discussed at a closed-door ministerial meeting hosted by Prime Minister Chung Si-kyun and will take some time to meet before officials weigh in all the pros and cons and reach a consensus. The last item, the novel coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic has brought several countries to a near standstill as activities involving the congregation of public, including music concerts, sport games, conferences, tourism bourses, and festivals, are either postponed or cancelled. The four simultaneous regional head elections, Pilkada, earlier scheduled for September this year, was another major event that was postponed owing to the coronavirus outbreak. The decision to postpone Pilkada was made during a hearing of Commission 2 of the House of Representatives, DPR, with attendees comprising officials of the Home Affairs Ministry, Indonesian General Election Commission, General Election Supervisory Body, and the Code of Ethics Council for the Implementation of Elections in Jakarta on March 30, 2020. Listener, that was news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Japan Finally Implemented National Emergency. Japan finally declared war on COVID-19. Midnight Tuesday, April 7, 2020, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe decided on COVID-19 national emergency after holding a meeting with all elements of the government. Considerations of the implementation of the national emergency is the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, which greatly affected Japanese people and economy. To carry out a national emergency, the central government will cooperate with governors in the 7 existing regions. The enactment of a national emergency is also based on the fact that the COVID-19 corona pandemic is expanding. As of Sunday, in total, there were more than 3,900 cases of COVID-19 in Japan. On Tuesday, 7 April, the death toll was 92. Previously, doctors in Tokyo had warned the government that the situation was already critical because hospital capacity to accommodate COVID-19 patients was running low. The national emergency will prevent residents from leaving the house and closing down places of business for a period of about 1 month. Governors are also entitled to use community facilities for handling patients and those detected as affected by COVID-19. The use of public transportation will not be reduced in numbers, but the volume of passengers is tightly regulated. Regarding the national emergencies policy adopted by the central government, the government will regulate the distance between one passenger and another in public transportation. Regarding the national emergency policy adopted by the central government, economic observers in Japan are concerned about the impact. To overcome this, the government of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe issued a stimulus package worth 108 trillion yen, or about 20% of gross domestic products. Japan finally recognized the impact of the global COVID-19 pandemic. Like other advanced industrial countries, the decision to lock down or a national emergency would cause a slowdown in economic growth. Japan may not fall into an economic recession. But when the pandemic has passed, the Shinzo Abe government must strive to revitalize the country's economic growth and maintain the level of welfare of its people. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on April 8, 1938, the birth of Kofi Annan. Kofi Annan was a diplomat from Ghana. He served as Secretary General of the United Nations for 7 times in the period of 1997 to 2006. He also has led Green Revolution Alliance in Africa since 2007. The Alliance is an organization which aims at increasing agriculture and plantation products in Africa, as well as fighting against starvation, lack of water and soil erosion. The figure who elevated the dignity of black skin was born on April 8, 1938 in Kumasi, Ghana. The next event is that in 1946, the last meeting of the League of Nations took place. The League of Nations is an international organization which was established after Paris Peace Conference in 1919. Post-World War I, the League has some functions. They are to disarm, prevent war through collective security, solve opposition among the countries through negotiation, diplomacy, as well as recover global life welfare. The idea to establish the League of Nations was initiated by U.S. former President Woodrow Wilson, although the U.S. did not join in the organization. Appearing the World War II, U.S. former President Woodrow Wilson emphasized reality more that League has failed in preventing the war. After April 8, 1946, the League of Nations held the last meeting and 10 days later, the League officially dismissed. The last event is that on April 8, 2013, Margaret Thatcher passed away. Margaret Hilda Thatcher was the first woman who became Prime Minister of England. She passed away on April 8, 2013, in the age of 87 years, due to stroke. In 1979 to 1990, the woman who had a nickname Iron Lady was the longest Prime Minister who ruled in the 2nd century. She was the only one woman who had occupied the position. Listener, that was Today in History.
cinta itu datang, ku rasa bahagia di hatiku menatap indahnya bintang, memberi harapan yang baru. Ketika kaki melangkah berdebar rasanya di dada, namun senyum yang terindah selalu membangkitkan jiwa.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title: State-owned enterprise minister maps strategic moves to maintain economy during COVID-19 pandemic. State-owned enterprise minister Erick Thohir committed to maintain the state-owned enterprise's durability in facing the economic impact from COVID-19 pandemic. Minister Erick Thohir did not deny that the pandemic will also affect state-owned enterprise's performance. In official statement in Jakarta on Sunday, April 5, Minister Erick Thohir ensured to prioritize workers, merge other businesses, prioritize efficiency, and strengthen cash flow. The minister added state-owned enterprise ministry had begun finalizing business portfolio mapping of all state-owned enterprises and subsidiaries. As the first move, he had downsized 51 subsidiaries of state own oil company Pertamina, telecommunication company Telkom, and flight service company Garuda Indonesia. The downsizing will continue but remains considering its workers. State-owned enterprise ministry had mapped the state-owned enterprises based on business portfolio. The mapping was based on public service economic value. According to Minister Erick Thohir, the mapping will decide the move and strategy for his ministry in deciding whether to keep, transform, consolidate, divest, or release a company. He hoped the mapping and some efficiency measures done by state-owned enterprises can anticipate the economic impact in Indonesia due to COVID-19. Minister Erick Thohir said, some countries including Indonesia certainly face heavy challenges in the economic sector due to the pandemic. However, he affirmed Indonesian government keeps maintaining the national economy. President Joko Widodo had taken initiative by issuing some regulations in safeguarding national economy amid COVID-19 pandemic. Besides that, Bank Indonesia Governor Peri Warjio had affirmed the Bank Indonesia will strive to safeguard rupiah exchange rate toward US dollar. It was mentioned that those measures were appreciated by IMF Managing Director. That was my Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
That's me.
Let me see that on like the Cisco song. Cause once I turn you on,
There's no turning back. I'm like Don Corleone. Ain't no one above that. Ain't no one above me when it comes to loving you. Your pleasure comes first and I'll come after you. You know that you're a gift sent from heaven 24/7. When I'm off the stage, I'm yours. And let me set the mood. And let me set the mood while you play with my flute. And I'll be watching you tell me what to do. Maybe you can tell me how you want it to be. Talk to me, girl.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to introduce you National Monument or Monas, which is located in Central Jakarta. The National Monument, or abbreviated Monas, is a tower with 132 meters high in the center of Merdeka Square, Central Jakarta, symbolizing the fight for Indonesia. It is the national monument of the Republic of Indonesia and built to commemorate the struggle for Indonesian independence. Construction began in 1961 under the direction of Indonesian First President Sukarno. Monas was opened to the public in 1975. On the top, it is a flame covered with gold. The national monument has long history. President Sukarno began to contemplate the construction of a national monument comparable to the Eiffel Tower on the square in front of the presidential palace. The monument was built at 80-hectare area and designed by Frederic Silaban and R.M. Sudarsono that began to be built on August 17, 1961. Underground of the monument, there is a Museum of Indonesian National History. An elevator at the southern side will carry visitors to the top of the monument. The top of the monument can accommodate around 50 people. There are also binoculars where visitors can see Jakarta's panorama closer. If it is sunny day without clouds, visitors can see Mount Salak at the south, which is located in Bogor Regency, West Java Province. At the north, there is a stretch of sea with small islands. On the top of the national monument, there is a platform or called cawan that supports the flame of a bronze lamp, which wakes up to 14.5 tons and is coated with 35 kilograms of gold. The flame is a symbol of the struggle of Indonesian people who wanted to achieve independence. The gold was donated by Tengku Markam, an Acehness entrepreneur. The platform can be reached through elevator or stairs when going down from the top of the monument to reach the base of the platform. To go there, you can use many kinds of public transportation. listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring National Monument in Jakarta. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Hari demi hari telah ku lalui, hanya menunggu dirimu. Nada demi nada telah ku nyanyikan lantunan melodi jiwaku. Langkah demi langkah telah ku jalani tu gapai cintamu padaku. Kata demi kata telah ku tuliskan puisi cintaku. Telah ku nyanyikan lantunan melodi jiwaku. Hanya dirimu yang aku cinta, hanya dirimu yang aku sayang. Tiada yang lain di hatiku, selamanya hanyalah dirimu. Selamanya hanyalah dirimu. Ternyata kamu juga cinta, cinta.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is cooperation between RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is kecelakaan, or in English, accident. Stay tuned.
Next is a conversation about kecelakaan, or in English, accident. As usual, I'll say every sentence twice slowly, and you can follow after me. Tony and Endah are shopping at a batik store in Malioboro.
Endah, kamu kenapa?
Ayahku kecelakaan.
Astaga.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say it words twice and you can follow after me. Kamu kenapa? Kamu kenapa? In English, what is wrong with you? Ayahku kecelakaan. Ayahku kecelakaan. In English, my father gets an accident. Astaga. Astaga. In English, oh my God. Saudaraku meninggal. Saudaraku meninggal. In English, my sister died. Ada apa? Ada apa? In English, what is wrong? Apa yang terjadi? Apa yang terjadi? In English, what happened? Nenekku. Nenekku. In English, my grandma. When you want to ask someone who looks sad, panic, you can say, kamu kenapa? In English, what is wrong with you? The answer to the question if you are fine, saya baik-baik saja, which means I am fine. Or tidak apa-apa. In English, it's okay. If you want to know what happened, you can ask, ada apa? Apa yang terjadi? The answer for the question is tidak ada apa-apa. However, if you have problem like Endah in the dialogue, you can tell anything that you experience, such as ayahku kecelakaan. Ayahku kecelakaan. In English, my father gets an accident. Saudaraku meninggal. Saudaraku meninggal. In English, my sister dies. Temanku pingsan. Temanku pingsan. In English, my friend is fainted. Nenekku jatuh. Nenekku jatuh. In English, my grandma falls. When hearing information, sometimes someone expresses a sense of wonder by using an interjection spontaneously, such as astaga, ya ampun, in English, oh my God. Listeners, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Endah, kamu kenapa?
Ayahku kecelakaan.
Astaga.
Listeners, before we end, I'll give you an exercise. The exercise is to describe tourist attractions in your city and your feelings when you are there. For example, di kota kami ada tempat wisata yang bernama Pantai Ancol. Kami sangat senang di pantai ini karena bisa berenang, bermain pasir, naik perahu, juga berjemur di pinggir pantai. Listeners, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I present a song from East Kalimantan titled Nasi Bakapor. The song Nasi Bakapor was composed by Ismet Rizal that tells a story of a typical culinary from Kutai Kartanegara, East Kalimantan, namely Nasi Bakapor. Nasi Bakapor is served with various side dishes and vegetables. This food is more delicious to eat at midday. You can find Nasi Bakapor in Samarinda, East Kalimantan. However, if you have not ever been to Samarinda to taste it, let's just listen to the song Nasi Bakapor sung by Nadira Arisanti. Enjoy the song.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.